The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Got myself tangled up in the headphone cord. Wow, what a way to start off the show. All right, we've got a lot to get to today, and I want to talk about this incident that happened last night. There's something weird going on. There's something weird percolating right now in America, and I'm not quite sure I'm ready to define exactly what it is, but something big is going on. Now, last night, around 10 o'clock Eastern, there was a guy in a U-Haul. And this U-Haul truck, it was a very large U-Haul truck, and this guy in the U-Haul actually tried to smash into a security barrier near the White House. Now, if you listen to the national media, they're telling us that this guy tried to crash through the front gates of the White House, and he was a white supremacist. Well, you can't believe everything you see on television. Let me correct that. You can't see anything you believe on television these days. You just can't. So let me set the stage for you and see if we can explain what happened. And this ties into to a bigger issue, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But anyway, you've got this guy, and he's driving this U-Haul, this large U-Haul truck, and it crashed into these security barriers. First of all, there's video of this happening, and I have to tell you, those security barriers are pretty powerful. I mean, they stop that U-Haul dead in its tracks. And so anyway, the guy gets arrested. People are saying, though, well, he was trying to get into the White House. No, that's not true. What we can tell you is that the breach happened on the other side of Lafayette Square, Lafayette Park. So this happened in front. If you know anything about the geography of the White House, there's the White House. There's Pennsylvania Avenue, big park. On the other side of the park, you have the Hay Adams Hotel, a very beautiful, very prominent hotel. And I've stayed there a couple of times. Great place, by the way. Good people there. But it was nowhere near the front gates of the White House. So just understand where this happened. So anyway, the guy crashes in. And we understand, and we'll get to his identity in just a moment. But something very weird happened. They photographed the police, and this would have been park police. This would have been their jurisdiction. And they're taking evidence out of the vehicle. There was no crime scene tape, by the way. They were pulling this evidence out, and I think there was some duct tape, and there was a Nazi flag. And they laid out the Nazi flag on the sidewalk so anybody who was viewing this could photograph it. As if the whole thing was, what is the word I'm looking for? Staged. I mean, that's certainly what it looks like to me, right? Because I have yet to see any sort of a crime scene where they've intentionally brought out evidence and laid it out for the general public to view. Have you? I haven't, but that's certainly what happened last night. So they finally identify this guy. They're saying he's a white supremacist, but I'm not too sure about that. My understanding is he is 19 years old, this guy. He is from Missouri. And the police say that they believe this was all intentional, that he tried to ram the gates. Now, I'm going to share the guy's name with you, and I'm just curious if it sounds like a white supremacist, because these days they're telling us, at least those on the other side are telling us, that you don't necessarily have to be white to be a white supremacist, which makes no sense at all, but bear with me. So anyway, the guy's identified as 19-year-old Sai Varsith Kandula. Yeah, he's like Anglo. It's Anglo from sunup to sundown, right? Sai Varsith Kandula, he's from Chesterfield, Missouri. And that's about all we know at this point. Anyway, he's facing a number of charges. They're saying he threatened to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on the president, vice president, or somebody. I don't know. So we'll figure all of this out. But it's just weird, right, that they laid out the Nazi flag. It's as if they want you to buy into some sort of a narrative. That's what it certainly sounds like to me. So that happened last night, just a few hours after word leaked out that about 50 United States senators, maybe more by now, dozens of U.S. senators, received special satellite phones. These are emergency satellite phones, and they're to be used in case of a disruptive event. Now, this is not Todd Stern's language here. This is the language coming from testimony that was delivered by the U.S. Senate Sergeant at Arms, Karen Gibson. Gibson testified that the satellite communication is being deployed to, quote, ensure a redundant and secure means of communication during a disruptive event. Okay, what sort of disruptive event are we talking about here? What's that all about? Just now, all of a sudden, out of the blue? I'll take it a step further. Why weren't they given these devices after 9/11? Why now? Why are we waiting until now to do this? What's going on? What has changed? Gibson said the phones are a security backstop, and we've got the story at toddstearns.com. Gibson said the satellite phones are a security backstop in case the emergency or in case of an emergency that takes out communications in part of America. Federal funding, meaning your tax dollars, will pay for the satellite airtime needed to utilize the phone devices. And that's not the only weird thing that's happening. This happened, this announcement came just a few hours after someone leaked a photograph of the Pentagon under attack. The photograph showed an explosion, a massive explosion at the Pentagon building in Washington, D.C., but it turned out to be a fake photograph. It was created by AI, artificial intelligence. And it was so real looking, though, that it began to trend on social media, and it actually caused a major fluctuation in the stock market. This was AI. So you have all that going on. And that was yesterday, all right? On Sunday, the New York Times reported that 30 tons of a highly explosive chemical had gone missing. Now, how does that happen? How does 30 tons of highly explosive chemical go missing? Well, it did. It was on a rail shipment from Wyoming to California. By the way, that happened in April, and they still have not located the explosives. Shall I go on? How many reports now are we getting out of reporters along the border that they are now apprehending Afghan nationals that are coming across, including some that are on the terror watch list? Is it possible that some of these guys were able to get into the country undetected? We know some have been arrested, some have been captured. We also know a number of Chinese nationals have made it across the border. Are we keeping eyes on them? And the reason I ask that question is because Gordon Chang, who I follow, I've been a guest on the show a number of times, an expert on China He's a great journalist and attorney, columnist. In recent weeks, though, he has been posting some ominous warnings about a looming war with China. Here's what he tweeted just a few days ago. Pray for peace. Protect your family. Get ready for the most destructive war in history. This is the moment to defend our country. We're not getting more time or a second chance. So when you put it all together, you wonder what the heck is going on here. What are we preparing for? What exactly is Congress preparing for? What is it they know that they're not telling us? So a lot of people are now wondering, what is the disruptive event that Congress is preparing for? By the way, a little bit of breaking news on that point. Keep in mind, there's been a raging debate in Congress over the past couple of weeks about AM radio. Many of you are listening to this program on AM radio. And we know that some of the major car dealers and car makers, rather, had announced they were going to eliminate the AM dial from cars and automobiles. And that's a big problem, not just because of conservative talk radio, but because of a very important practical issue. AM is the only frequency that the federal government can send out emergency alerts. Well, the word came out just before I walked into the studio today that Ford is now announcing they are backtracking and they will no longer pull AM radio out of their vehicles. So what's going on here? What do you think is going on? 844-747-8868. I'm not saying we need to be freaking out, but I think it is cause for alarm. Certainly a cause to pause and maybe take stock of, okay, what if the power goes out for a couple of weeks? Am I prepared to handle that? What if something more dramatic happens? Am I prepared to handle that and take care of my family? But there's clearly something at play here. And, you know, we hear the term false flag a lot, but do not underestimate the power of this government right now. They may have a man in charge who has porridge for brains, but he's not running the show. You've got some really devious people behind the scenes running the show, probably most of them in the Department of Justice. Not to mention Barack Hussein Obama and Susan Rice. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number this afternoon. That's 844-747-8868. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to get started right after this.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
All right, no, I don't know what nationality the guy is. I mean, he's probably American. I don't know. But he is from Missouri, this guy that rented the U-Haul truck. Let's go to the phones here. Tracy in Georgia has something to say about that. Hey, Tracy, what you got for us?
Hey, Todd. So I watched this video last night. It was probably around midnight, and I saw it come through. And isn't it just kind of coincidental that somebody happened to be just filming this U-Haul truck, you know, right about, it was before he even hit anything, right? So it's like, hey, there's a random U-Haul truck. I think I'm just going to video it. Seemed a little fishy to me. You know, and then the satellite phones and everything that they're coming out with kind of makes you wonder, you know, not what somebody else is about to do, but what's our government plan? It's like they're setting us up for something.
Tracy, that now this is intriguing. Yes, I did notice that the video camera just happened to be there at just the right time. And this, by the way, is not on the touristy side of the park. And quite frankly, there aren't that many tourists there at that time of night anyway. But
did you see there was a golf cart kind of off to the side too, like somebody was tooling around in a golf cart. Did you see that on the side of the video right next to the person that was videoing?
I did see that. It does make you wonder. Here's what got me is laying the evidence out so everybody could see it, and there was no crime scene tape.
Right.
Who does that? What crime scene have we ever? And I would love to hear from law enforcement. We have a lot of cops listening to the show, Tracy. I'm curious to know is that how you would secure a crime scene?
Exactly. And they say that the truck was empty, other than what this a backpack and the Nazi flag. So where are they getting the whole he had intentions of taking out the president, vice president, whoever? Did he tell them that, or is this an assumption, or is this just one of those things that they're trying to get us to believe, some narrative they want us to follow?
It's a fair question. I mean, it really is, Tracy, and we don't have the answers. But again, we still don't know how many FBI agents were involved in the planning and the execution of what happened on January the 6th. We know there were a lot.
Of course.
Well, I do find it
interesting. I hope more people are waking up to this and looking further into it instead of just believing everything that we see, because there's definitely something fishy about this one.
There's something smelly about the whole thing. And Tracy, I think you're right. The question is not what is somebody doing to us, but what is the government doing to us?
That's exactly it. And the chemicals that mysteriously went missing, they said that this rail car was empty, right? Oh, it must have just leaked out along the way. No, and it's still sealed. Right? Did I hear that correctly as well?
Yeah, we're talking about 30 tons of explosive chemicals.
That just
gone missing.
Right?
Ammonium nitrate is what's missing right now. 60,000 pounds of it.
I'm sure they were just going to fertilize the White House lawn.
Well, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of desert between Wyoming and California.
Goodness gracious. Well, I'm going to stay tuned and keep researching and see what I can find out. But definitely something is amiss with this whole story. So.
Very strange. All right. Tracy, appreciate the call. And look, Tracy is right to be suspicious. Something just doesn't smell right here. Something's not passing the smell test. And I'm not sure what they're up to. We're going to find out that this guy, even though he's probably from, I don't know, Bangladesh or wherever, is actually a white guy. Maybe he's self-identified as a white supremacist. We don't know. But the mainstream media is already trying to tie this to Donald Trump. I mean, that's how devious these people are. It's just unbelievable. All right, coming up, we've got an update here on the NAACP. And they are warning, of course, people of color to avoid Florida. They say that the Sunshine State is openly hostile to blacks, people of color, and gay people, which is ironic, by the way, because, again, speaking of people of color, they've elected several high-profile people of color to Congress. So Senator Marco Rubio, Congressman Byron Donalds, a long list, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, if Florida is racist, they're not doing a very good job of being racist. One activist on MSDNC called Florida a terrorist state. Now, this is interesting. We did a little bit of homework, and our good friend Ben Dieter discovered this info. It turns out the chairman of the NAACP, Leon Russell, lives in Tampa, Florida. Now, I've already placed a call to the White House, and I believe that it's imperative that President Biden use the full force of the federal government. If that's dispatching the National Guard, dispatch the National Guard, but we've got to evacuate Mr. Russell and his family out of Tampa into a safe place. We've got to do it, and we should spare no expense. So look, We're all about solutions on the Todd Stearns radio program. And we want to help you. We want to help the black families of America and all you gay people, too. So I know if you've already made your plans to Florida, to summer in Florida, but don't worry. We've got some great alternatives like Detroit, Michigan, Portland, Oregon, Memphis, Tennessee. Be sure to pack plenty of sunscreen and maybe a Kevlar vest or two. We'll be right back, America.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
I just got a text message. Todd, are you serious? Are you really serious about the NAACP? Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I call on our president to use the full force and power of the federal government to evacuate not only the NAACP chairman, but I think any black American living in Florida right now who needs to be evacuated because you live in a terrorist state, according to MSDNC. I think that we need to evacuate all of them. It doesn't matter the cost. Look, here's my philosophy. If we can protect the good people of Ukraine, then surely we must be able to spend that much money to protect the good black and gay people of Florida. I know there are more drag queen bars per capita than any place in America in South Beach. But it doesn't matter. Those people are hurting on the inside. They really are. So I say, for the sake of America, for all that is good and decent and unholy, I call on the president, let's bring out the National Guard. Forget the National Guard. Bring out the military. I want to see the landing crafts on the beaches. Load them up and move them to a safer place in America, like Portland, Oregon, or downtown Detroit. Or Nutbush at Memphis, Tennessee. Just get them the hell out of Florida and get them someplace safe. No, I'm not laughing. These are tears of joy. I'm weeping laughter, ladies and gentlemen. It's welcome back, everybody. Hope you're doing well. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, some news from my home state, my beloved state of Memphis, Tennessee. And this is pretty shocking news. I know this is going to stun many of you. But third graders in the state of Tennessee have to take an exam. They have to take a test to find out if the children can read. And it turns out that most children in Tennessee cannot read. According to the Tennessee Department of Education, only 40% of third graders in Tennessee public schools can read at age proficiency. For those of you who did not attend a Tennessee public school and can do math, that is 60% who cannot. 60% of young people, third graders in the state of Tennessee, cannot read. So they've got a brand new rule. And that rule is this: if you cannot read at your age proficiency, you have to repeat third grade. So 60% of all the third graders in the state of Tennessee are going to have to repeat third grade. Now, all of the counties in Tennessee have released their numbers. All of the counties except for one. That would happen to be Memphis, Tennessee, Shelby County, the state's largest county. Now, the last time they tested the numbers, and so they're not releasing the numbers. They're not going to tell you how many people are, how many of these kids are stupid in Memphis. So we were talking to a state education official, and he tells us about 17%, only 17% of third graders in Memphis, Tennessee can read at a third grade level. Ladies and gentlemen, what the hell? The public education system has failed our kids. Now, Tennessee, to be fair, is controlled by Republicans, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, they've got a supermajority, and they've controlled Tennessee for years. So this is on the Republicans, and the Republicans are actually celebrating. They said, this is tremendous. We've gone up 10 points. A few years ago, only 30% of the kids could read and write. I don't see anything worth celebrating here, folks. Now, the left is playing games, the right is playing games, and you've got moms and dads in the middle that are just angry and confused, and they don't know what the heck is going on, but now they're looking for alternatives like homeschooling or private schools, and I would say, you go for it. Here's what's happening. Many of our classrooms are churning out social justice warriors instead of academic scholars. That's what's going on here. I mean, look, how many times have we told you this story? We send our kids to school to learn how to read and write, and they come home every day as pronoun-confused, illiterate anarchist. They can't even make change down at the 7-Eleven. Now, I know a lot of you people, I get the emails from the nice, sweet church-going ladies.
Now, Todd, you're not being very nice to the third grade boys and girls. What if they read? What if they read what you say about them, and you could hurt their feelings? That's not very nice, Todd.
No, it's not very nice. But sometimes you don't need nice. You need the truth. And quite frankly, there's a pretty good chance that these third graders, even if they get a copy of what I wrote, they're not going to be able to read a lick of what I was writing. They're illiterate. They can't read. You know, folks, are we just playing games? Is that what this is all about? Are we just playing games? Oh, by the way, speaking of that, have you heard about this story out of the University of Minnesota? This is a doozy of a story. So you've got you've got the University of Minnesota, and every year they do these summer internships, and many of them are paid, and they're good gigs, especially for the kids going into whatever kind of research program they're going into. So anyway, the University of Minnesota announced the other day they were getting ready to accept applications for this paid internship program. But here's the kick in the badonkadonk. If you are white, you're not allowed to apply. The Equal Protection Project of the Legal Insurrection Foundation is calling for the University of Minnesota to change its application process and open its summer internship programs to all students, regardless of skin color. This is coming from Fox News. The university opened its paid undergraduate internship program application to only non-white applicants. That's it. So if you're of the Caucasian persuasion, you're not welcome. According to one spokesperson for this activist group, there is no good form of racial discrimination. Depriving white students of educational opportunity does not promote racial or any other form of justice. Now, I will say this, and I want you to hear me, ladies and gentlemen. I support the University of Minnesota. I believe they ought to not only ban white people from this internship, but all internships. Who do the white people of America think they are? And by the way, I'm now a bronze man because I've been getting sun this summer. So who do the pasty white people of America think they are to demand internships? Who do they think they are to demand equality under the law? We all know what Minnesota's about. We all know they're just a bunch of Scandinavians and Swedes, all you blonde-haired, blue-eyed white people, people of the Caucasian persuasion. Who do you think you are? So I say, you know, forget about the paid internships. Kick them out of school. How dare these white people think they deserve an education? Just kick them out of school. And for that matter, when you kick them out of school, make sure they sit in the back of the bus when you send them back home. No, don't give them a drink of water. No, they've got a... No, how dare your lips touch that drinking fountain, sir? You white person, how dare you? As a matter of fact, I said, who are we as white people to demand fair and equal treatment under the law? I say, send us all back to the farms. We'll pick cotton. Dylan, you don't deserve gloves. Pick cotton with your bare hands, your bare, white, pasty hands. I'm not in a mood today, Dylan. I'm just sort of wound up about all of this. Maybe they're on to something. The University of Minnesota is on to something. All you white kids, you're not getting a free ride. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what racism looks like. Right there. And it is ugly and it is nasty, but that's what it is. All right, let's go to the phones here. Amber in Abingdon, Virginia. Hi, Amber. What's on your mind today?
Oh, hello, Todd. First of all, that was hilarious, and I really enjoyed listening to that. But I wanted to bring up a little bit of, I just want to take some personal responsibility as far as the kids' education goes, because I have two daughters who are 7 and 8. And at the beginning of COVID, we took them out of public schools. One started pre-K, the other was in first grade. We took them out of public schools, put them in a Christian school. We paid money for them to go there. They attended for almost 3 years, I think, or 2.5, whatever. But I just noticed a kind of a lack of progression in their education. I loved that they were learning about the Lord. I love the people who run the school, but I just didn't feel like they were really thriving in the teaching style. So we prayed about it. We put them back in our local public school. We knew the teachers, good Christian ladies. You know, we were very confident. When they got back into public school, we found out that my daughter that entered the third grade was actually barely reading on a second grade level. And my daughter that went into the first grade was barely reading on a kindergarten level. And what we came to realize is that during those years that our kids were in this private school, we weren't really paying attention and we weren't involved with them at home. We were really busy at work. We were really busy at church. We were busy everywhere, but we weren't busy with our kids. And we weren't paying attention to what was going on with them or if they were learning. We weren't reading with them. We weren't really doing anything education-wise, and what I've seen with a lot of parents my age is that we are so busy in our own lives, we're not paying attention and we're not helping with our kids' education. And I feel like I know there's a lot of problems at the public school. I know there's issues with the curriculum and the teaching styles, but the parents really, really have to start taking responsibility and getting back involved with their kids' education, because my daughters are back up to advanced studies now. They finished third and first grade on the honor roll. They're doing fantastic. But that took me coming home from work and spending the evenings with my kids and making sure that they were learning the material.
You see, Amber, I love what you just said, because I think that is a big challenge in this country, is that moms and dads are so busy, they're really not finding the time or taking the time to sit down and see what their kids are or are not learning in school. I can tell you this from my personal experience. I grew up in the 1970s, early 1970s, went to grade school. My mom made sure that I could read by the time I got to first grade. That was an important thing to do. But if we're going to rely on the public school system to do something like that, Amber, I think we're going to find out that we're going to be in a bad, bad spot in this country.
Absolutely. I agree. We've got to stay involved and we've got to take responsibility.
All right, Amber, great call. And thank you for listening to us. Love all of our listeners over in the Abingdon, Virginia area. Let's go to Doug in Georgia. WDON wants to weigh in on Minnesota. Hey, Doug, what you got?
Well, I got this. I'm an old white guy, and don't hold that against me.
Well, I am, Doug. I'm holding it against you, Doug. You're a white guy.
I know. You know, it infuriates me when I hear the President of the United States saying I'm the problem. And, you know, this. I saw something the other day where they had special graduation at Berkeley just for black kids. So we see it over and over again, and I love so many black people. I grew up in Detroit. I grew up with Motown. I mean, you can't take that out of me. I love B.B. King, Mississippi John Hurt, but there's a percentage of the black population and culture. I hate to say it, for as mad as I get about all this, it's really, I feel sorry. I'm really at the point now I've changed my hatred or my dislike to pity, and you see what's happening in Chicago. When a civilization doesn't have young people coming up to replace the people who die off, and the black culture doesn't, I mean, I don't care how much welfare, how much is handed out, I'm afraid they're toast, and I feel badly for all the excellent, the good Christian black people that hold together their churches, Martin Luther King, Farrakhan even has good things to say, Malcolm X had great things to say about, you know, working hard and getting things done. But I've flipped my disgust, my infuriation to turn it and just say, you know what? You folks are toast. You don't have any young people coming up to replace you, and it's just a matter of time. So I feel I've gone from anger to pity, and I pray to God that all the good black people who have to put up with this garbage, that they can turn things around. But the only thing that's going to turn it around is the black people themselves blaming people, blaming everything else.
Well,
it's going to work.
The problem here, Doug, is it's really by and large not the black people blaming the whites. It's these aggrieved leftist whites in the Antifa movement and the Black Lives Matter movement that are leading the charge here. That's what's really leading this effort. Doug, appreciate the call, but look, Doug is right. There is a culture problem, and that has to be addressed. But when you're teaching kids in public school, and keep in mind that we are now teaching children, black children in kindergarten, they are oppressed by the white 5-year-olds. You better wake up, folks, because that is a country none of us wants to live in 12 years from now. And I would say it's probably going to be a lot earlier than that, because they've been teaching this nonsense for a very long time in our public school system. Unbelievable. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio program. Oh, very excited, by the way, to introduce a new sponsor of the show.
Now an honest message from Barack Obama to African Americans interested in reparations.
My fellow African Americans, recently I've seen some of you getting a little too excited about the possibility of reparations just around the corner. But listen to your grandmama. Before you get your hopes up too high, be sure to get a tube of Reparation X.
Reparation X calms, soothes, and pacifies while your burning hopes of reparations get X'd out by the same party that needs your vote. Our proprietary blend of herbs and essential oils...
Oh, it's just weed and some shea butter, but it'll make you feel better until I need you worked up for the next election. You know, it might even work on hemorrhoids or herroids. They are themoroids? I don't know.
Look for Reparation X at Motherland Supply, Weave World, and your local Democrat headquarters.
Ask for the new Jumbo Joe Biden size with a handy applicator. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Shanklin, not only our parody guy, but he is also our director of sales. So welcome aboard to all of our great sponsors. including Reparation X. Hey, hang tight, everybody. We got another 2 hours coming, unless the FCC takes us off the air. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you are doing well today. A couple of big stories we're following this hour of the program. It's really getting a little hostile in the world of Republican politics. And I don't know if this has been your experience or not. I came right out of the gate early on and before anybody else had declared and said, you know what, I'm going to be a Trump guy. At the time, I stood by my decision. I still stand by my decision. I don't have any regrets at all. Matter of fact, now I feel somewhat vindicated now that the Durham report is out, because all of the hate, all of the vitriol directed against Donald Trump was based on a lie. As a matter of fact, I would contend that everything that happened as a result of that should be forgiven, because Donald Trump has been the victim here of a heinous lie, an attempt to overthrow a duly elected president. And quite frankly, a coup to stop him from being elected in the first place. So I believe he deserves a second chance. But really, the reason why he deserves a second chance is because Donald Trump actually delivered on just about all of his major campaign promises. Not all of them, but a good many, more than George W. Bush ever did. And unlike George W. Bush, Donald Trump never got us in a war, two wars. So I say thank you, Mr. President, for that. But that doesn't mean that I immediately look at DeSantis supporters as being liberal or being Democrats or rhinos or whatever. No, I like Ron DeSantis. But may I just say something about Ron DeSantis? It's not Ron DeSantis that I have a problem with. It's the supporters of Ron DeSantis. And these folks really make Ron DeSantis a guy to like, right? It's very hard to like Ron DeSantis, not because of Ron DeSantis, but because of his supporters. Now that, and again, DeSantis is probably going to come out tomorrow. That's the word we're hearing. And DeSantis is going to officially declare his intention to run for the White House. And I wish him the best of luck, much like I wished Nikki Haley the best of luck. I'm sorry. I tried to say that with a straight face. I'm sorry. But also Vivek Ramaswamy and Larry Elder and Tim Scott. Look, I think there are a lot of good folks running on the Republican side. And my philosophy is I'm a Trump supporter. If for some reason Trump doesn't get the nomination, I'm going to support whoever the nominee is. And all you people out there who are establishment Republicans giving me a hard time, I have four words for you. John McCain, Mitt Romney. I supported those candidates, even though I stood opposed to a lot of stuff they supported. And you guys, as a result of this idea of it's somebody else's turn, as opposed to the best person for the job, you guys cost us the White House multiple times. Just want to throw that out there. So anyway, Look, I don't bear any ill will towards anybody that supports Ron DeSantis, but I'm telling you, the hate and the vitriol I'm getting from the DeSantis people, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. I mean, it really is. I had asked somebody a simple question about why DeSantis was going to be at the National Religious Broadcasters Gathering, and they right away just assumed I was talking about politics. They said it has nothing to do with politics. This is about religion. Okay, well, it's predominantly an evangelical gathering, and you got a Roman Catholic speaking to a bunch of evangelicals. That's a little unusual. Well, it's because he's the governor of the state. Okay, fine. I just asked a question. No need to jump down my throat. But I had a chance to peruse the speech. And by the way, there's not a lot of video of the speech that DeSantis delivered to the national religious broadcasters. They say he got a very enthusiastic response, and I'm not sure what to make of that. There was a photograph taken of him and Franklin Graham, and now all of a sudden people are saying, oh, Franklin Graham has jumped ship. No, Franklin Graham hasn't done anything. He just had his picture made. So I'm going to play a little clip here from Ron DeSantis last night, and I want you to see if you noticed what I noticed about this section of this rip-roaring speech. Cut number 10.
And when you see the chaos and the deceit in the world around us, it should prompt us to look higher. God has blessed us with freedom, and our country's Declaration of Independence is one of the few that recognizes that our God-given rights predate the government, and that government's creation is to protect the rights we already have because of God's hand. So we have a responsibility to preserve the freedom that has been endowed to us by our Creator. We must restore a sense of sanity to our society. We must restore normalcy to our communities, and we must restore integrity to our institutions. Our founders understood that freedom is fragile.
Did you notice something about that clip? There were no cheers. There was no applause. As a matter of fact, it sounded like he was just reading the speech without even putting any kind of work into it. I mean, these are some pretty powerful lines, but the way he delivered it, it was just like sentence after sentence after sentence. That's not how you deliver a speech like that. And I get it. We're not electing an orator in chief. I mean, we did that with Barack Hussein Obama. Great with words, lousy with delivery. But geez, Alou, I mean, this was a red meat crowd, and he was throwing the red meat out there, and I don't know if it was the delivery or what, but he was reading. He was not even reading from a teleprompter. He was just reading from paper. I mean, come on. But again, I don't say this to belittle Ron DeSantis. I think he just needs to do a better job, and his team needs to do a better job of preparing him. If he's not a good speaker, then he needs to get some people around him that will work with him. But they believe they know everything. So anyway, I got a note from a lady. She was very upset with me. How can you possibly support Donald Trump and be a Christian? That's what she asked me, flat out. How can you support Donald Trump and be a Christian? Shame on me. That's what she said. Shame on you. You should be supporting Ron DeSantis. And she basically accused me of basically surrendering my faith in Christ because I support Donald Trump. And she is she is 1,000% behind Ron DeSantis. And the woman goes on to say, well, she's a God-fearing Baptist woman, and she supports Donald Trump, or she supports Ron DeSantis. So I'm sitting here reading this, and I thought, well, should I respond to this woman or not? I was really torn about whether or not I should respond. So I decided I was tired. I'm like, oh, what the heck? I'll go ahead and respond. Now, I'm about to get in the weeds for just a moment, and I want you to bear with me for just a brief second. But if you are a God-fearing Southern Baptist person, right, then you believe that your way, your theology is what gets you to heaven. In other words, your teachings from the Bible, right? So you're not going to be supporting a Catholic because the Catholics believe one thing, Baptists believe something else. And I don't want to get into theology here, so just bear with me. But this woman accused me of playing politics with my faith, right? Politics with my faith. So I just asked the woman a question. I said, well, if I'm playing politics with my faith, what about you? You just proclaimed to be a God-fearing Baptist woman. Why aren't you supporting a God-fearing Baptist candidate like Tim Scott? Why are you giving your support to a Roman Catholic like Ron DeSantis? If you want to play that game, we don't play that game here. Anyway, I'll let you know when she gets back to me, but I think I triggered the lady. But in all seriousness, people need to take a breath out there. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody's yelling at everybody. Yeah, I get it, Donald Trump. Yeah, I get the tweets. Jeez, Alou, enough already. I get it. But let me ask you this. Let's just say Michelle Obama is your nominee. By the way, it could be Hillary Clinton, but let's just say it's one of those two. You really think Tim Scott's got a chance against those two? You think Ron DeSantis does? What about Nikki Haley or Vivek Ramaswamy? Because I'm telling you, I see the polling data, and I mean, Trump's the man. You may not like me for saying that, but it's, I mean, that's what the polling data says. By the way, here's Hillary Clinton, cut number three.
Where he almost fell over coming down the stairs a day or two ago.
Talking about Biden.
Failings. Jill wasn't there with him. Every time that happens, your heart is in your mouth because these things could be consequential. Is that a concern?
Well, I mean, it's a concern for anyone. And we've had presidents who've fallen before who were a lot younger. And people didn't go into, you know, heart palpitations. But his age is an issue, and people have every right to consider it. But, you know, he has this great saying, and you know, I think he's right. You know, don't judge him by running against the Almighty, but against the alternative. And I am, you know, of the camp that I think, you know, he's determined to run. He has a good record that 3 years ago people would not have predicted would have gotten done. He doesn't get the credit yet that he deserves for what is happening out in the country.
All right, there you go. That's Hillary. Basically, she's turning the knife in Biden's back, saying age is an issue. People have a right to consider it. So she's setting herself up for something or somebody else. And it could be Michelle Obama, could be Gavin Newsom. My money is still on Michelle Obama. I would not be surprised if she jumps into this race at all. All right, we've got to take a break here, and I'm curious to know from you. Are you getting a little frustrated with Team DeSantis and Team Trump? It's you can't look. You've got, where is Jesse Kelly? Hold on. So Jesse Kelly, who is a well-known midday talk show host, was actually on Hannity, I believe it was last night, or was on one of the channels last night, suggesting that really what the country needs is a dictator. No, I'm not making this up. We will get that information for you coming up after this break. But first, we're always excited to introduce new sponsors. And our good friend Paul Shanklin, who is also pseudo-director of sales for the Todd Stern Show, has a brand-new sponsor for us.
Now an honest message from Barack Obama to African Americans interested in reparations.
My fellow African Americans, recently I've seen some of you getting a little too excited about the possibility of reparations just around the corner. But listen to your grandmama. Before you get your hopes up too high, be sure to get a tube of Reparation X.
Reparation X calms, soothes, and pacifies while your burning hopes of reparations get X'd out by the same party that needs your vote. Our proprietary blend of herbs and essential oils.
Oh, it's just weed and some shea butter. But it'll make you feel better until I need you worked up for the next election. You know, it might even work on hemorrhoids. Or herroids. They are themoroids? I don't know.
Look for Reparation X at Motherland Supply, Weave World, and your local Democrat headquarters.
Ask for the new Jumbo Joe Biden size with a handy applicator. Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our number. Let's go to Kentucky. Rex. Hi, Rex. What's on your mind?
Help, Bernie. Hey, Rex. Hey, Todd. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you for asking.
Hey, I'm a God-fearing Christian, and I'm a huge Trump supporter. I pray every day. I go to church every Sunday morning. However, I'm beginning to think Trump's a phony Christian. Do you think he ever actually goes to church?
Well, he says he goes to church. He's been photographed and filmed in church. So, yeah, I think he does go to church.
You think he goes to church every Sunday morning?
Well, I don't know. Does that make you a good Christian, Rex, if you go to church every Sunday morning?
I'm starting to think he's looking at us evangelicals like a bunch of fools, and we're just a piggy bank for him.
Well, what would make you say that?
Because he's a liar.
All right. Well, Rex seemed, first of all, folks, you got to keep the language clean here on the radio program. But Rex seems to think that Trump is taking advantage of all of you evangelicals out there. 844-747-8868 is our number if you agree or disagree. 844-747-8868. So I want to go back to this story. I knew this was going to happen. I was hoping it did not happen. I was really hoping that maybe, just maybe, there would be a measure of grace. But when it comes to being a white person in America, it is hard to find grace these days. So there's a guy by the name of Glenn Kuiper. He's the announcer for the Oakland Athletics, the Oakland A's baseball team. Anyway, he was describing a trip to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And this was happening during a game. And anyway, he mispronounced the word, well, you can figure it out. He mispronounced the wrong word in that phrase. And he was suspended. I mean, it was clear. It was an accident. I mean, it was just I don't know how he slurred it, but he did, and it happens. So anyway, NBC Sports has announced they are firing Glenn Kuiper effective immediately. They said, "We thank Glenn for his dedication to Bay Area baseball over the years." An anonymous source says the decision was based on a variety of factors, including information uncovered in the internal review. Well, what does that mean? Poor Mr. Kuiper, he released a statement. "I could not be more sorry and horrified by what I said. I hope you will accept my sincerest apologies." You know, as soon as it happened, the man should have immediately identified as a black rapper. And then he would have been celebrated. They might have given him a Grammy or something. The A's manager says the team did not decide upon Kuiper's termination and that he sympathized with the announcer, who'd been a part of the broadcast crew for 20 years. But the decision was made by NBC. So how many times has NBC broadcast rap music and they've intentionally bleeped out the N-word? Aren't they just as guilty? I mean, they're doing it intentionally. This poor guy, this poor schmuck, all he did was inadvertently, we knew what he was trying to say. He's no racist. But you're telling me you're going to end this man's 20-year baseball announcing career because he simply had a slur, a slip up. I'm telling you, there is no grace. And it makes no sense. If you're going to ban a word, ban it for everybody. That's what I say. But this man, he's no racist. I'm telling you, folks, it is a new day in America. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. So glad to have you with us today. By the way, so a new development in this Target story. You know, they've started to, I guess they've become the official clothing or clothier of the LGBT community. And now they're selling onesies for little toddlers that have little transgender sayings on them and all sorts of other inappropriate stuff. Anyway, Target's just announcing that they're moving all of that to the back of the store in some of their southern locations. So, you know, that's gonna tick off the LGBT crowd because they want that stuff front and center, which is exactly where Target has it. But the thinking is they're trying to avoid a Bud Light situation involving a boycott. I'm gonna say it because nobody else is willing to say it. the Christians are more than happy to boycott Bud Light because a good many of them don't drink booze. But I'm telling you, when it comes to Target and Disney, yeah, you're going to have a hard time getting the Christians to boycott those two. I'm just telling you. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have our friend Sarah Partial Perry with us. Sarah, I know that's kind of harsh language, but right? I mean, it's how many times have they tried to boycott Target and people just won't stop going?
You know, I don't know exactly what the appeal is. I understand they sell some cute things, but they were the first on the woke train. They were really driving the engine when they decided to open up their bathrooms to anyone who identified as a woman. So even before the merchandising angle was achieved, this is a store that has been front and center on the cultural divide. And honestly, I think for me, and I was never a Target shopper, this will ensure the fact that I will never shop at Target. They have made such attempts to force individuals who are your everyday average mom to go into stores like this and to be absolutely assaulted visually with clothing and items specifically for minor children to drive an agenda. I can't possibly imagine what would happen, Todd, if, for example, you walked in and there were t-shirts with John 3:16 on it. There would be an absolute firestorm. Target doesn't seem to recognize the fact that it's dealing in hypocrisy.
No, yeah, you're right. And I've been pointing this out for the past couple of days. I think what Target has been doing is far worse than what Bud Light's been doing, because they've been this has been systematic with Target for a very long time now. But, you know, it leads into this terrific piece you wrote in the American Conservative talking about this very issue, about the normalization of transgenderism, which I think, quite frankly, is this whole drag queen movement, I think, is a big part of that. But let's talk about your column here, The Trans Mind Virus is Mutating.
You know, this is really something that stood out to me when I recognized that there was a sitting legislator in the state of Minnesota who is introducing a bill to create federal civil rights or civil rights protection for individuals who were called minor attracted or essentially classify sexual attachment to children as a protected sexual orientation under existing human rights law in the state of Minnesota. Well, if we've got somebody who's been elected to that office introducing bills to protect pedophilia, I decided to dig down a little further and see exactly where this was going. In Colorado, they decided as a group of Democrats in a cabal to vote down a felony charge for indecent exposure to minors, because this would, quote, unfairly discriminate against the drag and trans communities. Washington State shielding runaways now who want lifetime irreversible surgeries to try and affirm their genders. And now we're seeing research on specialized sort of populations of this minor attracted group. Are, for example, these two researchers have posited, are women the sort of sufficient level of attracted as men are to minors? We know that there is an increasing prevalent attempt to try to sweep young people into the movement. It began with trying to afford them these life-altering surgeries, the push for medicalization. Now what we're seeing is the increasing proximity to pedophilia as youth attracted as a protected sexual orientation. Todd, you and I'm sure, have been called alarmist. We've been called sort of conspiratorialist or slippery slope fanatics. I don't care what I'm going to be called. We know now that this is a true risk, that it is already happening, and that we are seeing this in increasing measure.
No, we are. And I saw this unfolding years ago, back when I was at Fox News, wrote about it quite a bit. Towards the end, I was actually told, you got to stop writing about transgenderism. You're offending people. You're offending colleagues. and you can't be writing about this anymore. And, of course, just over the past couple of days, people have been spilling the beans about this embracement of the transgender movement within the Fox News building. So I'm not terribly surprised by this, but the reality is not a lot of news organizations are willing now to talk about what's really ultimately behind this transgender movement.
You know, and we've got ultimately nothing but our own weakness to blame if we don't speak up against this. This has been sort of a precipitous fall from grace. Obergefell versus Hodges, the same-sex marriage decision coming out of the Supreme Court in 2015. Many of us, many conservative Christians, thought to ourselves, this really is sort of an opening salvo for the sexualization in America, for the diminishment of moral law, natural order, what marriage has been defined as for over 2,000 years. Then we got Bostock in 2020, where under employment law, gender identity was swept in under the same consideration as sex. And in less than 3 years, now we have sitting state legislators arguing for protected status for minor attracted people. Listen, a recent researcher was just hired by the Johns Hopkins University, the best hospital in the world. She had been fired from Old Dominion University for essentially advocating for this youth attracted persons or minor attracted persons. She preferred it to the sort of more stigmatizing pedophilia, but she was hired in their gender clinic. This is somebody who is recognizing, to her mind, that youth attracted person is a purportedly natural sexual orientation that should be protected along with everything else. Less than 3 years, Todd, it got from Bostock to where we are now.
Wow.
And now we've got the UN issuing reports essentially saying, we think consent laws might not actually be necessary because you can consent if you're under the age of 18. Of course, we've got kids consenting, I'm using air quotes, to life-altering procedures. Why wouldn't they be able to consent to a naturally sexually exploitative action? It really is terrifying.
Sarah Parshall Perry is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. She is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, wrote this terrific column in the American Conservative. And it's, Sarah, it seems to me the most important part of what you wrote came towards the end when you said, once we deny biological reality, the dissolution of moral order follows. And that has been the ultimate question. What is the whole point of all of this?
That's such a great question, Todd. You know, here's the problem is that it has no limiting principle. We're now seeing whispers of youth attracted people. How far are we from transhumanism? How far are we from bestiality? Once we've opened up the door to sexual perversions of any kind, it makes that much easier an argument to really throw open the gates of hell, for lack of another term. It's gotten to the point now where we really are sort of advancing fetishism in all of these different contexts, and they are closer and closer to the children of America, including in American public libraries and classrooms, where we see literature that is exactly on the level of illustrated porn, or where we see drag queen story hours and parades within the context of public schools. There is no place for this to go but down, which is why people like you and I, Todd, need to hold firm the line on what our eyes, our minds, and our hearts know to be true, which is there are only two sexes. They were designed by God to be that way, and it won't ever be anything else.
All right. Good stuff, Sarah. And folks, we have a direct link to her essay on our live show blog. I got to encourage you to head over there and check that out. Sarah, always appreciate your great work.
Thanks for having me on the show, Todd.
All right, Sarah Parshall Perry from the Heritage Foundation, and of course that that essay in the American Conservative. Wow. Just and she's not wrong here, folks. I mean, there is once you start caving in and once you start redefining things, you really have no right to define anything else, right? I mean, who are you to say now that if somebody wants to get married to a tree, Who are you to object to that? Who do you think you are? You, what are you, anti-foliage? Are you an anti-arborist? I mean, seriously. Anyway, I want to get back to this Target news. So the chief executive officer at Target is actually defending their decision to go woke. The CEO at Target says that gay-friendly kids clothing is the right thing for society. And he says it's the right thing for business. Brian Cornell was asked about the backlash during a podcast interview. He says, I think those are just good business decisions, and it's the right thing for society, and it's the great thing for our brands. Target employs more than 450,000 customers in more than 1,900 locations. The things that we've done from a DE&I standpoint, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion standpoint, it's adding value, it's helping us drive sales, it's building greater engagement. You know how they're doing that? Do you realize one of their largest revenue generators? Chip and Joanna Gaines, the darlings of the conservative Christian world. And where do you think people are going to buy their products? So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, is very simple. Are you willing to boycott Target? Are you willing to do to Target what you've already done to Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, some big news, millions making the switch to Newsmax. And I'm telling you, folks, the ratings are insane. CNN has really been suffering as a result of Newsmax's huge gains. After Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox, the Eric Bolling Show went up over 200% in ratings. Every night, Newsmax's big lineup of Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, and Eric Bolling, Chris Plant, it can't be beat. Americans are turning to Newsmax for real news that you can trust. So watch Eric Bolling tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. Find out why Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable channel. You can get it on all major cable systems, or you can do what I did, which is download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching anytime, anywhere. So make that switch to Newsmax today. It's real news for real people. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. So, have you heard about the lawsuit? Hamburger Mary's. Hamburger Mary's is a... Is it fair to call it a drag show hamburger joint franchise? So these things are all over the country. And you get a good juicy burger and you get a drag show. So anyway, Hamburger Mary's in Orlando is suing Governor Ron DeSantis. Never thought I would see a lawsuit titled Hamburger Mary v. Ron DeSantis. But, you know, it's the 21st century, whatever. So here's the deal. Hamburger Mary's, they bill themselves as a family-friendly joint, so they're really not doing the really provocative stuff. But anyway, they're saying that as a result of the new law, they're not allowed to serve booze or have adult performances in their restaurants. The one in downtown Orlando used to host a family-friendly drag brunch on Sundays. The owners of the restaurant claim the state's law is too vague and too broad to satisfy the requirements of the First Amendment to the Constitution. Reading from clickorlando.com, that's the Orlando Sentinel's website, by the way. Hamburger Mary's owners said once they told customers children would no longer be permitted, bookings fell by 20%. They worry that drag venues like Hamburger Mary's are worried about operating within the scope of the law due to the demands of recent legislation like the Senate bill that restricts children from sexually explicit drag performances. Now, look, we just went through something like this here in Tennessee, and here's the problem with this kind of legislation. There are already laws on the books, so I don't know why Ron DeSantis felt the need to directly go after businesses like this when you already had laws on the books. Same thing happened in Tennessee. And by the way, the left raised a very interesting point. What about professional wrestling? You have men and scantily clad men. And one video that was actually introduced into testimony, there was a moment where I guess they tried to electrocute one of the other wrestlers' private parts. It was all part of the show. And it was a fair question. The Democrats actually asked a fair question. Why is this okay? Why is it okay to hook up a man's private parts in front of children at a wrestling venue and shock those private parts when you're outlawing drag queens? It's a fair question, right? All I'm saying is there were already laws on the books. You're not allowed, if you're a child, you're not allowed to go to any kind of an adult performance. And if you do, then the business will face penalties. So I'm not sure why we needed more laws that are so vague that it could apply to anything. How many of you have had a dress-up day at school where the teachers all dress up like in drag or the guys dress up like women, women dress up like men? That would actually be outlawed in Tennessee under the legislation. By the way, here's that Jesse Kelly tweet I was telling you. I'm just going to read it, and you can figure out for yourself what he's talking about here. Jesse Kelly says, let me tell you all an uncomfortable truth. This country needs a dictator. As the great John Adams said, a free country only works for a moral people. We are not worthy of freedom. A dictator is coming. Okay, well, the John Adams quote there he's referring to is that our Constitution is wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. And what that means is when you take God out of the equation, you get chaos. But do you agree with Jesse Kelly that this country actually needs a dictator? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Hey, our website, toddstearns.com. Check that out as well. We have some great resources for you to check out there, including our free podcast. Download that today.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. Happy to have you with us today. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from the great state of Texas, Congressman Ronnie Jackson. Congressman, I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule. I know you're in between votes today, but there are a couple of big stories we'd like to chant with you about, not the least of which is President Biden and his cognitive skills, which clearly are getting worse every single day.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate you having me. Yeah, you're right. It's just things aren't improving. I've said before, I've been blowing the alarm siren about Biden and his cognitive issues since before he was president, when I was running for office before I was congressman. And I said all along that, Joe Biden's not a fine wine. He's not going to get better with time. This is just going to continue to get worse, and it has. And, I think you look at what's going on with Biden, and you look at Fetterman and Feinstein, and it's just, we're not creating a good image here. It doesn't look good for our country and, the leadership.
I want to get your take on something Hillary Clinton said. She was talking about Biden's age. She says that it is an issue and that people have a right to consider it. What do you make of that?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? No, I think it's more than his age. I tell people all the time, I'm not coming after Biden because of his age. I'm coming after him because of his cognitive decline. And, you know, everybody's, if you look at Bernie Sanders, for example. Bernie Sanders is a year older than Biden. And although, you know, I don't agree with anything that comes out of his mouth, he spouts a bunch of crazy stuff. He's coherent. You can understand what he's saying, and he makes sense. This happens to people at different points in their life. And you know, some people it happens to in their 60s, and some people it happens to in their 90s. Or, you know, we know people that are 100 years old that are sharp as a tack. So it's not necessarily his age, but, you know, he's age-related cognitive issue in his particular case. And it's not conducive with being our commander-in-chief and our head of state. And it's going to get us in trouble. I mean, it's going to get us in trouble overseas from a national security standpoint. And it's destroying our society and our economy. We've seen what's happened over the last 2 years. It's just a big disaster.
You never know what's going to come out of the guy's mouth. And I think that terrifies just about everybody, including members of his own staff.
Right. That's why they keep him in the basement, right? I mean, they try their best to keep him sequestered and roll him out for very short periods of time, give him a card to read from, give him a teleprompter, and just try to get him out of there as quick as possible. Don't take any questions. And that's just been the way he is since he ran against President Trump from the basement. He's continued to just be sequestered because they know that he's just not prone to gaffes. I mean, you know, he's been prone to gaffes his whole life, but prone to just really disturbing comments and behavior that make people question or not whether he really knows what's going on. And I honestly don't think he does most of the time.
Congressman, I'm curious to know what the Democrats are saying about Senator Fetterman. I mean, this guy showing up at press briefings wearing cargo shorts and a hoodie. This is really inappropriate behavior for a sitting United States senator.
Well, not only can he not communicate, which is a key skill that you have to have as a senator, you have to be able to, you know, you have to be able to make speeches, make statements. You have to be able to interview witnesses and question witnesses. He can do none of this. I mean, you can't understand anything that comes out of his mouth. He makes absolutely no sense. And I don't know if he knows what he's doing and he just can't communicate it, or if he just doesn't, if he's got some cognitive issues himself from the stroke. It's hard to tell. But, you know, he's an embarrassment and he's not even trying. You know, you would think that he would at least make the effort to look like a member of Congress, to look like a member of the Senate, to dress appropriately. He's disrespecting the office. He's disrespecting the people that sent him there from his state. He's not representing the United States or his constituents very well. And it's just another example of how, you know, they put politics over the ability to do the job.
Are any Democrats actually openly talking about this? I mean, they are when it comes to Feinstein. I mean, that's just horrible. Yeah. What I mean, that's elder abuse right there.
I've heard a few senators in passing talk about how he's just embarrassing. You know, it's just embarrassing to have him in the Senate. I mean, he brings down the reputation and the image of the entire body. So I think that they're embarrassed by Fetterman. They're seriously concerned about Feinstein. She's completely gone. She's been gone for years. Her staff has been covering up for her inability to do the job for at least a couple of years now, and they've been running her office and essentially performing her duties. And that's just they're not elected officials, and they have no business doing that. They should have talked her into resigning a long time ago. When I say they, I mean the party and her staff. And it's her staff's really you should be ashamed of themselves right now, because it's really up to them to let the rest of the Senate and the rest of the country know that this woman is not up. But you know, they get addicted to the power and the authority that they have from working for a senior member in the Senate, and they don't want to give that up, and they'd rather just have her there and keep her, you know, in the closet somewhere and try to vote for her and try to communicate on her behalf, which is what they've been doing the last 2 years, just so they can stay, you know, in the offices and have the influence that they have. And it's just not good for our country.
Well, I suspect they're not the only ones. Those are just the ones we're talking about. I'm wondering, Congressman, do you think we need some sort of an age limit? You know, you have to be a certain age to be able to run, but maybe you reach a certain age, you shouldn't be able to run.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think that if people were responsible and if their staffs and constituents could be trusted to put people in office, and I say, you know, I hate to say something like that, but obviously, you know, they voted Fetterman in, and he, you know, they knew what they had when they voted him in, yet they voted him in anyway. So I don't know, that was an irresponsible move on their part. It affects all of us in the country. But I don't think it's a bad idea at this particular point, because there's not that level of responsibility that you need for people to move on whenever they're no longer capable of doing the job. So maybe you do need something in place that you know, maxes out where you can't be a sitting senator after age 75 or you know, something like that. I don't know. I don't know what the age would be. Like I said, it doesn't always go hand in hand with the cognitive abilities and ability to do the job. But, you know, we can't afford to have even one of our senators in the shape that Feinstein's in right now. It's dangerous.
It is. I mean, that's the immediate word that came to mind. It is absolutely dangerous. And again, this is not what our founding fathers intended, is it, Congressman? I mean, these were not to be full-time career positions.
No, they're not. And, you know, in the Senate in particular, it's pathetic if you look at not only how old people are over there, but how long they've been there. I mean, it's just, you know, there needs to be they need to move on over there. What would solve it mostly? If we had term limits, that would solve everything for the most part, too, because most people won't get elected when they're in their 70s. Exception there being Biden or in a few, but most senators and most congressmen get elected when they're significantly younger than these older members that we have right now. So if we had term limits in place, I think that would solve it as well. I mean, personally, I think, you know, if I would prefer the House of Representatives have longer terms. 2 years, you know, trying to run every 2 years is kind of a miserable experience. You know, maybe we have 3-year terms or 4-year terms here, 6-year terms in the Senate, and then maybe we have term limits where, you know, you get 2 terms in the House and 2 terms in the Senate or, you know, something like that. I just think that it would make government a lot more productive.
All right. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Ronnie Jackson from Texas, real quick on the debt ceiling. What's the latest? We know McCarthy said the meeting was productive. What does that mean?
Well, it was productive, I think, in the sense that they're listening to him now. We're standing our ground. We had a meeting this morning. Kevin McCarthy met with the entire conference this morning. I was pleasantly surprised that everybody on the far right of our party and the far left of our party were all united, still behind Kevin, telling him to stand his ground, don't back down, that that we're winning this fight. And we are winning this fight. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be great if we can get some of the stuff, if not all of the stuff. I hope all of the stuff that we push forward, because, you know, we set up right now where we're going to save $4.8 trillion over the next 10 years if the Republican plan gets pushed through. You know, we have to pay our bills, so we have to raise the debt ceiling, but we don't have to do it without any strings attached. And what we're saying is, like, look, this is the government spending is out of control right now, so we are not going to authorize to raise the debt ceiling unless there are some spending measures put in place. And so we're doing a lot of stuff. We're going to set the we're going to mandate that we're going forward. We have to start with the FY22 number. We can't exceed the FY22 budget. We're going to say that you can't increase that year to year. Every year going forward, 1% for the next 10 years is the most they can increase it. We're going to claw back some of the unspent, unobligated COVID funds, which is about $30 billion. We're going to defund the 87,000 IRS agents they put in place, which saves about $78 billion. And, you know, we're going to undo a lot of the big one is we're going to undo a lot of the new Green Deal, the stuff that they put in place as incentives for a lot of their new Green Deal spending, which will amount to almost $500 billion in savings. So we're going to bring a lot of that savings back. We're going to bring our debt down because we're in a situation right now where if we continue on the path we're on, just in a matter of you know, within the next decade, our interest payments are going to be more than the GDP of this country, which
wow.
that's completely unsustainable.
Mm. All right. We're going to leave it there. Congressman, always appreciate your great work, and thanks for holding the line on this debt ceiling. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Todd. Pleasure to talk to you.
All right. Likewise. There you go. Good guy. You know, it's interesting. You go back to the founding fathers. They didn't really want to do what they did, right? They would rather have been back on the farm. And so they were quick to get the business of the country done where they could go back home. And quite frankly, that's the way it ought to still be. We shouldn't be having career politicians in Washington. I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter to me. But what about you? The idea of setting an age limit, and if you're over 75, there's really no need for you to be serving. Because right now, folks, it looks like the crypt keeper up there, right? I mean, it's like a nursing home. That's the United States Capitol. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, breaking news. NBC News reporting that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will join the 2024 presidential race. And the only question has been, how's he going to do it? Is he going to hold one of the big Trump rallies? No, he can't get a crowd that size. Is he going to hold it? Is he going to do like a press conference? No, that's not it either. According to NBC News, DeSantis is going to join the race by having a conversation with Elon Musk on Twitter. It's going to happen Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern. It's going to be moderated by David Sacks, who is a tech entrepreneur, a Musk confidant, and a DeSantis supporter. So there you go. Does this change your opinion about Donald Trump at all? Will this change your vote now that Ron DeSantis is going to jump into the race by doing a Q&A with Elon Musk on Twitter? Is that enough to change the dynamic and the direction of the race? But what about you personally? Does this impact your decision on 2024? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I don't know. I guess it's good. I know this just doesn't move the needle for me much. Okay, he's going to do an event on Twitter Spaces. I guess that's good. I don't know. Weird. Los Angeles Dodgers back in the news. So the Dodgers, they're having a bit of a dilemma. You know, all of the Major League Baseball players, they have to embrace the LGBT movement. And especially any game that's played with balls. So if you play a game with balls, you've got to embrace the gay agenda. You've got to. I mean, it's a law. No, it has nothing with getting on first base at all. It's just, I'm just saying, you, if you are dribbling a ball or handling a ball in any form or fashion, it doesn't matter how big the balls are, you've got to embrace and pledge allegiance to the gay pride flag. So all the baseball teams and football teams, hockey, yep, okay, granted, hockey doesn't have a ball, it's got a puck. But still, it's got a stick. It doesn't matter, you've got to bow down and worship the LGBT agenda. Because it's not about sports anymore. It's about shoving an agenda down your throat. So anyway, the LA Dodgers were holding a big gay pride event. And they were actually going to invite a bunch of anti-Catholic activists, a group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Basically, it's a pornographic gang of drag queens dressed as nuns. It really is that ugly and that simple. So there was a lot of uproar. Senator Marco Rubio wrote a letter to the baseball commissioner and said, how could you do this? How could you give a platform to these people that are mocking Catholic nuns? So Major League Baseball backed off. Maybe they didn't know what they were getting into. Well, then the other side gets involved, and the gays are very upset about this. And they said, how dare you? We have a right to mock Catholics. We have a right to get out there. And basically what they're doing is a religious form of blackface. So anyway, Major League Baseball decided to have a second thought about this, and they reconsidered. And so the Los Angeles Dodgers have now officially apologized for offending the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and they have re-invited them back to the Gay Pride Palooza, the 10th annual Gay Pride Palooza. And the folks are really upset about all of this. One person said, who happens to be a Dodgers fan, I'm not Catholic, but this group is extremely offensive to anyone of the Catholic faith. I'm amazed that the Dodgers are willing to offend so many of their fans. Such a disappointing decision by the Dodgers. Now, no, I don't know what's going to happen during the gay palooza at the LA Dodgers. I don't know. I have no interest in knowing. And I suspect a lot of Catholic baseball fans are going to stay home because they don't want their kids exposed to this. I mean, it really is. When you look at the photos, and we have the pictures of these dudes on ToddStarns.com, And it really is sort of like a, you know, it's a religious form of blackface. Let me ask you this. What about on, let's just say they did Catholic night at the LA Dodgers, and you had a bunch of people dressing up in stereotypical gay attire and sashaying across, you know, across first and second base and doing inappropriate things when they got to home plate. What would, how do you think the mainstream media would react to that? A bunch of Catholics out there mocking gay people or trans people or the Lebanese people, pardon me, lesbian people. How do you think they would respond to that? Oh, you can't do that. Homophobia. You can't do that. No, of course you can't. It's just not right. It's not classy. And the LA Dodgers, I mean, really? You're going to go out there and allow these people to mock Catholics? Come on. That's not classy. You could really do better, LA Dodgers. You really could. But this is, they've chosen their fan base. They would rather have drag queens in the stands than traditional families. And you know what? Look, they're making a business decision. Oh, you know what? I bet there's going to be plenty of Bud Light on tap on Pride Night. Maybe Dylan Mulvaney can throw out the first pitch. Hello, boys. You look fabulous. Okay. I'm just going to leave it there. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. We're going to go to the phones coming up next. All right, some people are now saying that DeSantis' decision to make the announcement on Twitter is basically a thumb in your nose to Donald Trump's Truth Social network. So, I don't know. Will Ron DeSantis actually mention Donald Trump's name? That's what I want to know. Because right now he hasn't. He refuses to attack the man by name. And I got a problem with that. You got a problem with Donald Trump? Man up and mention his name, for crying out loud. Let's go to Georgia. Faye on the line wants to weigh in on DeSantis. Hi, Faye. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Listen, as of right now, I am still strongly behind Trump because he has proven he is strong enough to carry us through what we're facing right now. We're in disastrous problems right now. America's really suffering. And I like Ron, but anybody that the Bushes, McCain, Romney, whatever team thing was named that, any of those people, those longtime lifers, establishment, there, I will never support anybody that I know they are pushing because they never were for America First. I got so mad with them. I've been involved 35 years with politics. I used to get so angry because they would always surrender to the Democrats. They were no different. Mm. So I will never support anybody that I know they're backing.
What does Ron DeSantis need to do to get your support, Faye?
Right now, I like him, and he's been great for Florida. But Trump has proven he loves America. He was fighting for hardworking people like myself. I love America. My late husband, I suffered for him to fight through the Vietnam War. And my heart is breaking for America. So Ron DeSantis, I really like him. But right now, he's not going to prove anything because he's not ready for the national
occasion. Faye, that's a good word, and I'm sure others are going to want to weigh in here. Appreciate your call. 844-747-8868. What is it going to take for you to say, yeah, you know what? I can vote for this guy. He's the next president of the United States. 844-747-8868 is our number. I asked this question on Twitter, starting to get a few responses. And here's what I wrote. A question for pro-DeSantis evangelicals. Why aren't you supporting Tim Scott? He's a born-again evangelical believer. We've been preached to for years by the never-Trumpers about not putting faith above politics. So what gives? I mean, if faith is the big deal, which everybody says it is in the DeSantis world, why are you not supporting evangelical Christian Tim Scott, who happens to be one of you. Ron DeSantis is a Roman Catholic. He is not. So we've already got a couple of responses. One person says evangelicals also look at a man's record and his position on the issues. Well, if that's the case, then why not support Donald Trump? Because he has a pretty clear record when it comes to defending the evangelical movement. And here we go. Whoever has the highest probability of winning the general election, right now it is DeSantis. In other words, the DeSantis people are doing the same thing they're accusing all of you Trump people of doing. They're putting their politics over their faith. I just wanted somebody to at least be honest and admit that. Another person says Tim Scott is 57 years old, never been married, never had children. Okay, well, what does that have to do with anything? DeSantis's appeal has a lot to do with the image of him being a family man with a perfect family. Interesting. Let's go to Cliff in Salem, Oregon. KYKN, our great affiliate there. All right, Cliff, what say you?
Well, I have always thought DeSantis was a very good man, and I thought that Tim Scott was a very good man, and I've supported them, but I do not support them anymore. I think they should get out of the way and let the only man who I, in my opinion, is alive today and capable, who knows the players, who has the motivation, who has the guts to clean the deep state. And so I'm very disappointed that these other people are jumping in and gumming up the waters. Trump's got enough to deal with to get all of the DAs out of his life. So I'm for Trump 1,000% forever. I don't know if I could vote for DeSantis or Scott at this point. They just, to me, have stepped over the line.
If somebody had asked me, and, you know, where I was lining people up, I would say that I think Tim Scott is more of a threat than Ron DeSantis is. I think people may be reading this the wrong way, but I think Tim Scott, he's got a great story. Yeah, I get it. He's not married, doesn't have kids. Okay. But he's governed well. I mean, he's been very effective in the U.S. Senate. He's going to pick up South Carolina, no doubt about that. You've got your first three states there, the Iowa caucuses, and then you've got New Hampshire and then South Carolina. So I see Tim Scott positioned pretty well here. And again, he's hasn't said anything negative about Donald Trump, and Donald Trump hasn't said anything negative about him. We'll see how long that lasts. Cliff, appreciate that call. Let's go to Tom, also in Salem, Oregon, radio station KYKN. All right, Tom, what's on your mind?
Hi there. Thank you. Oh, I had a saying for you. Ultra mega dittos. And that might shorten up, then we don't have to say, how are you doing today? You know?
I love it. I love it.
Ultra mega dittos. But basically, yeah, for me to endorse DeSantis, he would have to go through about 6 years of FBI investigation and media scrutiny and the gates of hell that Trump put up with. Then and if he survives that and shows that he's an international leader and can stop Korea and China from making a move and Russia, then I'll consider it, you know?
In other words, can this guy stand up to the scrutiny? And I've heard rumors that this guy has super thin skin. And you cannot have super thin skin in this job. You just cannot. You can't do it. It's going to take too much of a toll on you and your family.
Yeah, really. And just on the side, I think he's got kind of a whiny voice a lot of times when he talks. It's kind of like it rubs me the wrong way.
Well, no, I get it. I get it. I get it, Tom. It's... But they can work with him on that. You know, it's Margaret.
Yeah, right.
Margaret Thatcher had a big. I mean, she was not a very well-spoken individual, and her demeanor, appearance, and they had to. I mean, it took a team of people to get Margaret Thatcher to be Margaret Thatcher. I mean, the essence was always there, but you know, it's the packaging of it all, and you know, they can help DeSantis out as well. All right.
Tom, appreciate that call. Let's go to Linda in North Carolina. Linda, what do you think about Ron DeSantis?
Good afternoon. I grew up in Florida. I lived there for 30 years. Ron DeSantis was our governor. I think he's excellent. I think he would make a good president in time. I think he needs a little bit more experience to be able to perform on the national stage as well as the world stage when he becomes president. I have nothing against him. I think he's great. However, at this point, I'm for President Trump.
So Trump's your guy. Linda, if Trump doesn't run, who's your number two? Is it DeSantis? Is it Tim Scott? Somebody who's not running yet?
Probably Governor DeSantis, because he does have a little bit of experience running more than just Congress for a specific state. He does interact with other governors. So I think probably Governor DeSantis.
All right. We've got you down, Linda. Thank you for calling in. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Jeff in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So what I hear being a common theme amongst a lot of callers is they're Trump or nobody, and they're diehard Trump supporters. If Trump doesn't get the nomination, then the question is, from what they're saying, are they going to come out and support the next candidate? As many people keep calling and saying they need to get out of Trump's way, I almost feel like Trump is going to kamikaze the Republican Party. The Democrats are going to win in 24 because the diehard Trumpers, which is millions of voters, 75 million in the last election, even if 25% of them stay home, that's the election right there. It's over. Democrats walk away with it. RFK is going to pull a lot of independents. People that are Democrats, minority, they're going to go for Rick Scott. And then you're going to have people that look at the future of the GOP and Republican Party go for Ron DeSantis. I personally think Trump is going to kamikaze the 24 election, and the Democrats will win.
How do we stop that from happening, Jeff? I mean, who would you say is the best choice to be the nominee?
I honestly don't know. I think they all hold unique qualities and characteristics, but my question is, would Trump, if he does not get the nomination, which if he doesn't, he's going to say it's rigged or they're against him or the establishment went against him, and then his voters, his base is going to stay home. Would Trump be man enough to say, hey, I lost the primary, support whoever? But I don't think he will do that. Trump's pride will never step to the side. He would never, ever endorse someone else.
Jeff,
he's going to ride it all the way out like he has now.
Jeff, I hear where you're coming from, but I have to ask you about the polling that's out there. Every single poll has Trump leading by, I mean, triple digits in some cases. How do you account for that?
I account for it in 16, Hillary was winning, and 20, Trump was winning, and I don't trust the polls at all, personally. So I don't know. Obviously, I voted for Trump both times, but my question is, I don't think Trump is going to get 75 million votes in the 24 election.
Well, the question, Jeff, is where does Trump go to get the votes? That's the question. He's got to go someplace to get those votes. And to your point, if independents, I'm not sure that many are going to be going to RFK. But if they do, that's going to be a very narrow path to victory for the Republicans. You also have to factor in something else. It's the establishment Republicans staying home. That's what cost us the election in 2020. My concern is they stay home again, and we're going to be in the same situation. And I don't think it's going to be Biden. It's going to be a Gavin Newsom or a Michelle Obama.
And that's what I think, actually, my personal opinion. If Trump does get the nomination, Michelle Obama will come in at the last minute. And that's who the Republicans, that's who the Democrats will use to try to out pull the votes from Trump. If Trump does get the nomination, Michelle Obama is going to be the Democrat candidate. She's already touring the country right now. She's been already making campaign stops. They're unofficial campaign stops.
Oh, sure.
She's been going state to state here lately. So that's who I personally think they're going to use. But if she doesn't come in, a lot of Democrats don't want Biden. I think they'll plug the nose and vote for RFK over Biden.
Jeff, so, we got to leave it there. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Russ in Oklahoma. KWON, our great affiliate in Bartlesville. Russ, what say you?
Well, are you there?
Russ, you're on the air.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's put Russ on hold. Folks, got to take a break. I've got to tell you about how things are going with Calitrin, which has been pretty phenomenal, to be honest with you. Started hitting the exercise routine, getting into a rhythm, and trying to shed a few pounds. And there's some exciting news. I'll explain why in a couple of weeks from now. But I've been using Calitrin. They're America's number one choice for healthy weight loss. And by healthy, this is a great product. It doesn't have a stimulant. It's not a drug. It's absolutely healthy, and I love it, and it's working for me. Now, here's the deal. You take Calitrin, you're not going to lose 20 pounds overnight, but that's okay. You don't want to. It's a slow, methodical process, and you want it to be slow and methodical, but it actually works, and I love it. There are some added benefits to Calitrin. Not only am I starting to lose a little bit of weight, but now I'm starting to sleep better. I'm a notorious light sleeper, but with Calitrin, I've been getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. It's unreal, and I love it. I'm feeling great, and I'm feeling a lot more alert. So I want to encourage you to check out Calitrin. You can go to their website, toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com, toploss.com. Now, when you get there, all sorts of great information for you. I want you to research it. This is working for me, and I suspect it might work for you as well. Use my promo code Todd, and they're going to give you some great discounts. So I hope you consider joining me as we slim down a little bit heading into the summer months. Toploss.com, promo code Todd. All right, folks, and just a reminder, if you are on hold, turn down your radio, or else you're going to get a lot of feedback and you won't be able to hear us. So let's go back to Oklahoma. KWON, our great affiliate there, Russ on the line. All right, Russ, go for it.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for your service. We certainly appreciate it here as a bunch of old redneck Okies.
Well, you're kind. Go ahead.
Needless to say, Mr. Trump has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's got the ability to stay in there and stay with it. I know a lot of people don't like his outspoken attitude, but, you know, he don't lie to you. He tells you the way it is. And if you don't like the answer, then don't ask the question. You know, Mr. DeSantis appears to be a little bit temperamental. He has enough sense to shut his mouth when he gets backed into a corner. I think perhaps you give him a few more years of maturity and a little bit more experience than he's had so far, even in the state of Florida. You know, I think he probably would make a good president or a good representative for the Republican Party. Tim Scott, I watched him yesterday and have seen him a couple of times before. Seems a little arrogant. But the bigger thing there is, you know, nobody, if you haven't been married and haven't raised any kids, you know, you don't have the experience, you know, to face the world head on. You know, if you raise some kids and been through all the local problems that everybody has and have a wife that's like most of them, you can either live with them or live without them. But he doesn't have that experience. And I don't know about his actual experience in the government. But at this point in time, he didn't represent himself very well.
All right. Well, I think you've done a pretty good job of really going through the list there. And Russ, I think you were willing to, and I think bold enough to say what a lot of people would be thinking about the fact that he's not married and doesn't have kids. And it's really nothing more than you don't have that sense of family. And more importantly, you don't understand the phrase happy wife, happy life, as they say.
That certainly holds water.
All right. Russ, I like the way you think. You give us a call back one of these days. When we have another candidate jump in, Russ, you got to call us back and give us your observations. I think Russ is actually spot on accurate here. I really do. And again, nothing bad about any of the candidates. We have a great bench in the Republican Party. I know a lot of you folks, we left you hanging. Give us a call back tomorrow. We're going to open up the phone lines. We've got to scoot out of here, though, folks, so you be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.